Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Yuma Daf Chaf. We're right at the Mishnah, which is seven lines from the top of the Amud. Says in the Mishnah, B'chol Yom, every day of the year, Termin Es HaMizbeach, they would take Truma. This was called Truma's Hadeshen. They take a machta, a shovel, scoop out some of the ashes, and place it on the floor alongside the ramp, on the Mizrach of the Kevesh. This was one of the Nisim, that the ashes were absorbed into the ground. So when did this procedure take place? B'chol Yom, on a typical day, Terminus HaMizbeach, Terumah Sedeshim would take place early in the morning, right before Alois HaShachar, B'Kriyas HaGever, at the point called Kriyas HaGever. One pshat in the Gemara is, it's referring to when the rooster crows, right before daylight arrives. Or somewhere around that time, Bein Lefanov, Bein La'achar, whether before or thereafter, so it was approximately around the Kriyas HaGever time. That was on a typical day, because they had pretty much a schedule which was filled, but not overfull, and there was no need to start the Avodah of the day too early, so you can start at that point, and that gives you enough time to tend to everything throughout the day. However, Obiyem HaKippurim, Mechatzois, on Yom Kippur, they had to precede, they had to advance the Tumas Hadeshen all the way to the Chatzois area. So it took place sometime after Chatzois of Leil Yom HaKippurim. The Gemara will explain the reason for this. Ubergolim, throughout the Yomim Tovim, they would actually advance it even further. Me Ashmura Harishayna. Now, as you may remember from the Gemara Brachis, every night has three Ashmurais. Ashmura literally means watches. So they were malachim, singing Shirat Hashem, and they rotate throughout the night. There are three groups of malachim. It's like Mishmaris of the Kehanim. So the night is split into three parts. Each part's 4 hours. Suppose the night begins at 6. So the first Ashmura concludes at 10 o'clock. The Tumas Hadeshen during Yom Tovim took place at that point, so early in the night, sometime after the first Ashmura. Before the Azorah fills up with the crowds, this way they can get right through and deposit the ashes without interference. In fact, explains the Mishnah. They were concerned because even before Kriyas HaGever would arrive, before the rooster would crow, everything would be full. Ad Shahisa Azorah, Malayim Yisrael, the Azorah would already been filled up with many Yidden coming to bring their karbanis. That's why they were magdim, Truma Sadeshan, to that early point in the night. Says Rashi up on the top line of the Amud, Masnis, Toyim min HaMizbeach. This was Truma Sadeshan. Shu choyte min HaDeshan b'machta, he takes a machta, and he scoops up some of the ashes. Pamachas, he does one scoop. Bein Rav, Beimat, whether it ends up with a lot or a little, there isn't really no shear, but there is a minimum shear. Ubavash le'ifches m'mloy koimetz. It must be at least a m'mloy koimetz, like a fistful of ashes. V'noishnei b'mizrach shel kevesh, he places it on the eastern side of the kevesh. V'nivla b'mkoima, you know, get swallowed right in the spot, into the ground. Shenemar v'heirir m'sadeshen v'somei etzel m'zbech. How do we know that you need at least a shear of a koimetz? V'afinu l'kamon. By a mincha, you do harama with your kaimitz. Here as well, it says veherim is hadashin. We make a gzera shavad lashon veherim is a kaimitz amount at a minimum. Vehi hoisot chilas avoidas shachris vashkama. This was the first item on the schedule, on the avoidas beis hamikdash schedule. Somachloi took place at Kriyas HaGever, right nearby, Somach Kriyas HaGever, Lufnei Kriyas HaGever, whether before or after, so approximately around that time, they did Tumas HaDeshen. However, B'yom HaKippurim, Torah Mechatzois, they did it from Chatzois onward, Uber Golem, even earlier, Mashmura Rishoina, Shehi B'Shlishas HaLayla. The end of the first Hashmura is right at the third point, a third into the night, Kedei Amar Maseches Brachos Gimel Mishmaros Havei Halayla. The Gemara Farish, the Gemara will give us the reason, Tama the Kula, why did they do it differently throughout the year than on Yom Kippur, than on Yom Tovim. During Yom Tovim, by the time Kriyas HaGev arrives, it was filled up. Everybody would come bring their karbonis so that they can bring it as law right after the Talmud. So, conclusion, we learned about Tumas Hadeshen throughout the year, on Yom Kippur, and Yom Tov. Sinan Hossam says the Gemara, we learned in a Mishnah elsewhere, a Mishnah in Zvach. Evarim, we have limbs, parts of the karbonis, which still have some basar, some meat intact. However, we're speaking, it's not fresh, it's already been charred, partially burnt, dried up, and hardened by the fire. So these Evarim, shepaku me'al gabe mizbeach. So they burst and bounced off the mizbeach. What do we do with them? Koidim chatzois, if it's still before midnight, yachzer, you have to put it back on mizbeach to resume the burning process. Umoy alenben, if one has a knot from the Eivor at this point, he has committed me'ila because it's still designated for the mizbeach. It's still called Kachi Hashem. However, la'acha chatzois, if it's ready after midnight, lo yachzer, there's no need to put it back. Ve'ein moy alenben, there's no me'ila committed. Should somebody derive benefit from this Eivor? Because it's very past the Akhtara time, it's very past the cutoff time, which is Chatzos. It's no longer meant for the Mizbeach and no longer considered Kach Hashem. Let's go over to Rashi, immediately to the right. Koidim Chatzos Laila, says Rashi, my Alan Ben. Koidim Chatzos, Ein Chashav Ikol, because before Chatzos, it's not considered equal. It's not been digested. So halachically speaking, it's not considered something consumed at this point. Be'ever she'yesh be'adayin mamish. Since we're speaking about an ever, we still have something tangible. Some basar intact. So again, if we're speaking about true ashes, it's really deshen, then no matter when throughout the night, it's already done, it's already consumed, there's no me'ilah. The mitzvah has been fulfilled in its entirety. But we're speaking about something which still has some basar intact. So if it's fresh basar, not yet affected by the fire, then again, regardless of what point in the night we're speaking, even at the end of the night, you have to keep it on the mizbeach. Here we're speaking about that middle category, the midpoint. We have an aver that has some basar, but it's not ashes, nor is it fresh meat unaffected by fire. It's been hardened, dried up. The Gemara in Zvachim refers to it as shiriri. It's been hardened and dried up by the fire. So since it's been partially burnt and it's already chatzois, it's done. It's considered halachically consumed. So here Rashi is speaking about before chatzois. It's not called ikul. It's not considered consumed. Be'ever sheish ba'adayin mamish. L'fich tzorach l'achzir l'maroch. That's why it has to be returned to the arrangement to the mizbeach. And the same time, for the same token, since it's meant for the mizbeach, and its mitzvah hasn't yet completely been fulfilled, kach yashem kurinu be. We refer to this as kach yashem v'yisbe mi'ilo l'nehenu mimenu. And if one has anah, he has committed mi'ilo. However, achach hatzois, ain't tzarech lahachzor. There's no need to return it on the mizbeach. Shachatzois Oise ikol, chatzois accomplishes ikol, midpoint in the night, is considered the cutoff point, past that, is considered consumed. Regarding these, evarim shemoshla bayor, evarim which were gripped, affected by the fire. Vavvisheshbe mamish, even though there's still some basar intact, is considered consumed, done and over with, there's no point, I'm putting back on the mizbeach. Kediyolof l'kamei, at the Gemara soon, we'll learn from a pasuk. At the same time, we say, since it's no longer considered a carbon and designated for mizbeach consumption, there's no me'ila, ve'ein ma'al ben, k'dekaimlon. As we learned, kol shenasis mitzvosai, ein ma'al ben. An item with which the mitzvah has already been fulfilled is no longer me'ila. The kiv and the less beitzer kavoya, since it's no longer needed for Hashem, for the mizbeach, like we're in a bayu kachi Hashem, we don't call it kachi Hashem, and therefore it's exempt from me'ila. We me'ila ksiv, v'chata b'shkagam kachi Hashem. This is no longer kachi Hashem. So Rav, so the Mishnah here gives us a rule of thumb. Again, if it's speaking about true ashes, then even at the earliest point in the night, it's considered consumed, no longer carbon, no longer meal. On the other hand, if we speak about true avarim or true basar, intact, fresh meat, unaffected by fire, of course, regardless of when throughout the night we're speaking, it's still kachi Hashem. But we're speaking here about avarim shemashla bayaur, as Rashi said. Fire has already affected it, already gripped it, already partially burnt it. So since it's been partially consumed and it's already passed chatzos, the Torah tells us it's no longer designated for mizbeach consumption and is no longer regarded as kachi Hashem. It's no longer mila. How do we know this halacha? Continues the Gemara. Minohan emili. From where do we learn that chatzos accomplishes this equal? It's considered consumption, consumed at the point of chatzos. Amarav. Because really. Seem to have a contradiction between two psukim. On the one hand, we have a pasuk which says, "Kol halayla v'hikter." Actually, the pasuk reads as follows: if you have the Torah on the side, you have the entire pasuk which says like this: "Tzavas Aaron v'zbanav leimar." This is the pasuk by Trumas Hadesh. Zoyis Torah sa'ola, he ha'ola al ma'ita al mizbeach kol halayla ad ha'boiker. The pasuk concludes, "Ve'isha mizbeach tukat boy." This is pasuk number one. The oila is meant to remain al maita, burning on its fire, the entire night. Kol halayla ad ha'boiker. Next pasuk number two, speaks about Trumas Hadesh. But we have the words Vehirim is Hadeshen, Asha Toichel Ha'esh, Asa Oila Mizbeach. So the Kohen should approach the Mizbeach and do Trumas Hadesh. Says Rav, we have a stira. Kosev Echad Oimer. One pasuk says, Kol halayla v'hikter. It's meant to burn on the Mizbeach the entire night. So the words Kol halayla v'hikter is just a paraphrase. It's not really the words in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says it should be Al Moita Al Mizbeach Kol halayla Ad HaBoker Ve'esh HaMizbeach Tugat Bo, indicating that there needs to be Akhtara throughout the entire night. So when you have this this Aver which has been partially burnt, no, keep it on the fire the entire night. We take a look at the next Pasuk, V'kosev Echad Omer. So since the psukim are next to each other, the second pasuk which has vehirim is hadeshin, speaking about the ability to go ahead and do trumas hadeshin already. When? Since it's the next pasuk, so we connect the two psukim and vehirim is a continuation of the previous pasuk, which is also speaking about the entire night. This seems to be telling us that Trumas Hadeshen can take place anytime throughout the night, as we had in our Mishnah. So what are you meant to do throughout the night? Is it like Pasuk number one? Have things burn the entire night? And wait with your Trumas Hadeshen? Or do Trumas Hadeshen anytime throughout the night? And don't allow it to burn itself out. So one Pasuk says, Kol halayla v'hikter. The other Pasuk says, Kol halayla v'hikter. Okay, so what do we do? How do we solve this conflict? Chalkei, make a yachlik, split the night into two. Chetzel haktorah, the first night until chatzos, is meant for haktorah, for burning. Chetzel haromah, past chatzos, the other half of the night, that's meant for Trumas Hadesh. Says Rav, this is the mukar that the halacha mentioned in the Mishnah. Then we have these avarim which still have some tangible mamushes to them, some meat on top of them, and they have been already affected by fire, mashla ben aur. So we're not speaking about pure ashes, totally consumed, totally burned through. Well, certainly there's no issue. Of course, you can do Trumas Hadeshen on them throughout the night, anytime. On the other hand, we're not speaking about a worm which has fresh basar on it, because that, you have to leave on the mizbeach throughout the entire night. So we're not speaking about case 1 or 3. So we have case 2 right in the middle. you have an Eber, which is partially charred, partially burnt. What is the Torah telling us? Chatzos is the cutoff point. Until Chatzos, you have to leave it, you have to return on the Mizbeach, have it burn through. But once Chatzos reaches, that's the cutoff point. The Haktara time has already expired, and now you can perform Trumas Hadashin even from this Eber. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos disagrees. He says Trumas Hadashin can only be from true ashes. Rashi learns, no. The Torah determines and decides and considers this as Dasha. This Eber, which still has some meat on it. But since it's been partially burnt, and it's already past burning time, we regard it as Deshen, as ashes, and there's no need for it to be on the Mizbeach. Chetzi laharoma, it is now designated for Truma Sadesh. Says the Gemara, Moshe Rav Kahana, does have a problem with this. He tells me that within the Pesukim we find that from Chatzos starts the time of Truma Sadesh? How could that be? We have a Mishnah which tells us otherwise. You can do Truma Sadeshin at the earliest point of the night. You can begin Mashmur Rishayna. As it sounds from Tosfos Amud Beis, really Truma Sadeshin can be done anytime throughout the night, even 8 o'clock at night. But they would do it from Mashmur Rishayna. How could that be? You, Rav, just brought me a pasuk. We had a stira, and then we had a teretz. Chatzos is the cutoff point, and the start point for Trumas Hadashin. Masrav Kahana, b'chol yoyim Torah minas hamizbeach. On a typical day, Trumas Hadashin will take place when? B'kriyas HaGever. Sometime around Kriyas HaGever, oy samach loy, ben lefona, ben leachrov, u'b'yem HaKippur, mechatzos, u'b'rgolim, me'ashmur Rishon. So this was the mission, which seems to indicate that Trumas Hadashin can take place anytime throughout the night. Now, according to you, you're suggesting to us that the Psukim come and tell us that the earliest point for Trumas Hadashin is Chatzos. Mei Chatzos Doraisahi. Heichem Akdiminon. How can we advance it? How can we do Trumas Hadashin before Chatzos? So Rav Kahana didn't agree to Rav's distinction. Rav is drawing a distinction between what type of material we're speaking about, right? The true ashes can be tended to at the beginning of the night. You can do Trumas Hadashin from true deshen, right at the beginning of the night. When Rav presented that Yachloiku, split the night to two, he was learning it was specific to this type of Eivor. An Eivor which is still somewhat intact. Chatzos is the cutoff point which allows Trumas Hadashin even on that. Rav Kahana didn't agree to that chiluk. If the pasuk speaks about Trumas Hadashin beginning from Chatzos onward, then it applies to anything, even to true deshen, ashes which have been completely burned through, in which case, how does the Mishnah allow Trumas Hadashin before Chatzos? Elam Rabbi Yochanan, you have to learn differently. So although Rabbi Yochanan is coming to explain the same Mishnah as Rav was, but he's going to show that the source, the halacha is sourced a bit differently than Rav. Elam Rabbi Yochanan like this. From the fact that the pasuk says kol halayla, this is pasuk number one. Oil is meant to burn on the mikdal, on the mizbeach, kol halayla. Then we have two additional words, ad haboiker. Now everybody knows night extends until morning. Why does the pasuk see a need to add that additional description, ad haboiker? If it would only say kol halayla, any day ashu ad haboiker, wouldn't I know on my own? Has to burn until morning. Why add those two words? It says Rabbi Yechon like this. Don't go ahead and split the night into two. No. We have pasuk number one discussing how much, to what extent does the carbon has to burn the mizbeach. Until what point does it have to remain al-mayt? The entire night. Kol halayla. Why? was speaking about an Eiver which has basar mamashas, intact, fresh meat, unaffected by fire. The whole night of the Mizbeach. We have Pasuk number 2, which was describing the mitzvah of Tumas Hadesh. Once again, it's called Alayla Ve'er. The entire night is eligible for Tumas Hadesh. What type of deshen are we speaking about? True deshen. True burnt through ash material. Over there, there's no restriction. You can begin at the earliest point in the night. In Pasuk number 1, we find two extra words, Adaboyker. Says Rabbi Yochanan, that is referring to this in-between state. The Aver that the Mishnah there was referring to. The Aver which slashed some basar intact, but it's not fresh meat, not unaffected by fire. It's mushla ben or, it's been charred somewhat. This middle state is being addressed with these words, Ada Boiker. How's that? Tain Boiker, the Boiker Shalayla. Add another morning to the typical morning of night, meaning a typical morning ends at the end of the night, at daybreak. Add another morning to that, which precedes that. It's another way of saying, establish another cutoff point, which precedes morning, in advance of morning, which is Chatzos. And the Aver, which has been partially consumed, has to be burning until Chatzos, and past that, you're okay for Trumas Adeshen. So rather than follow Shitas Rav, who interpreted the Pasuk differently, he said we have a stira. Pasuk number 1 speaks about burning the entire night. Pasuk number 2 speaks about doing Trumas Adeshen throughout the entire night, which is incompatible. Split the night into 2. The first part is meant for burning. Second part for Trumas Adeshen. Kasha was. Then you cannot do Trumas Adeshen at the first point of the night, which contravenes Halacha Nal Mishnah. Rechon responds by saying, we'll tweak it a bit. Pasuk number 2, which spoke about Trumas Hadesh the entire night, is true and correct, referring to ashes. So it all depends what we're speaking about, what material we're addressing. True Deshen can be tended to the entire night. Trumas Hadesh is kosher the entire night, provided we have true ash material. The first Pasuk number 1, burned the entire night, speaking about fresh meat. Within the first pasuk, we have an additional factor. We have the words Ad HaBoker, which tell us there's a cutoff point which precedes morning. It's referring to Chatzos. And that's referring to the material which is somewhere in the middle. Not completely burnt, not totally fresh, but mushla ben ur, somewhat charred, somewhat burnt, and you have to keep it burning until Chatzos, and past that, don't worry about it. Continues the Gemara, Hilkach. Okay, so now that we know that when it comes to Trumas Hadeshen from true, from real ashes, there really is no there's no cutoff point. You can do it throughout the entire night. Kol HaLayla Ve'irim. Now I understand the Mishnah. B'chol Yoyim, on your typical day throughout the year, Tumas HaMezbeach, some take out these words, Tumas HaMezbeach, B'kriyas HaGever. The point of Kriyas HaGever, Oy Samach Loi, Ben Fan Ben La'achrov Sagi, that's perfectly fine. To accommodate the avoid on the following day, you don't have to begin too much earlier than that. As long as it's early enough, right before Lisa Shachar, there's ample time remaining for the Karbonis to be brought the following day. So that was common practice, standard procedure. However, B'yom HaKippurim, we have an additional factor, the Ikechushu the Kohen Gadol. We're concerned about the Kohen Gadol being weak on account of his fasting, staying up all night. We want to help him out. Avdina mechatzos. We back up the Trumas Hadeshen from chatzos onward. The point is to space things a little bit. He doesn't feel the pressure. So we begin early. Interesting, Tosis here says, mashma, that even Trumas Hadeshen, which was avodas laila, could only be done by the Kohen Gadol. That's what it sounds like from Al Gemara. So we do it early enough, so he has enough time to rest between one avodah and the other. There's another shita in Tosfos. He says not necessarily the Kohen Gadol would have to do this. The reason why we advance it on Yom Kippur, because of the Choshen Kohen Gadol, means like this. We want to have everything arranged and ready. Trumas Hadeshen, arrange the firewood in the Mizbeach, etc., etc., with enough time so that we can begin the avoda right in the morning, and you can get going before he gets weak and hungry and thirsty. So according to the Epshan Tosis, it's not so clear that the Kohen Gadol has to do Terumah Sadeshen on his own. But the point is, we advance it to get things going early enough before he arrives at a state of weakness. That explains Yom Kippur. Third thing was Rer Golem during Yom Tovim the Nefesh Yisrael, because of the multitudes of Yisrael and Nefesh Karbanis. We have so many Karbanis here. Avdin and Mashmur Rishayna, we back it up all the way to Mashmur Rishayna. And the way Rashi explains it, it's because there's so much deshen, so much ashes, because of the many karbanis brought on the Yom Tovim. So we're makdim the Terumas HaDeshen me'ashmiras harishoina. So once that's behind us, we can go ahead and get rid of all the, pile up all the ashes onto the middle, make a big pile, and perhaps take it off from the Mizbech, take it outside the city. Incidentally, you know, I once read that about 100 years ago, they still had this pile of ashes right outside Yerushalayim. Amazing. And everybody knows this is from the Karbanis, Beis HaMikdash. It's been there for hundreds and hundreds of years, right outside the Yerushalayim, towards the north. And if you look at the Gemaras in Zvachim, it seems that that's the correct place for Terumas HaDeshen. When they transported the Deshen out of the Mizbeach, out of Yerushalayim, Al Shefach HaDeshen. So Terumas HaDeshen was just a scoop right near the Mizbeach. But then when they had a pileup of ashes, they would actually remove it. And the pasuk in the Torah says, "V'hoitzis adeshen l'chutz la'machna," he takes it out, the machna, and it would just pile up there for many, many years. And they had this pile of deshen sitting there. And in fact, the word of this pile reached one of the big tzaddikim in Europe, and he had somebody send him some of that deshen, and he said they found a horn, a shofar of an animal sitting in there, and when he saw it, he was so touched and inspired. He felt and touched a piece of the carbon of the Mizbeach. Of course, there was no Me'ilah on that, because it's already Nasi Mitzvah, so it's been burnt and consumed. In any case, that's what they would do. They would take the piles of ashes and transport it outside of Yerushalayim. And that's where they had to begin early in the night to allow for all this to happen. And this was the concern during Yom Tovim. The Tosfos Shanu has different pshat. He says very simply, because there were so many people arriving, it was just crowded, and they want to get things taken care of before the crowd arrives, in which case it will make it inconvenient to start transporting the Terumas HaDeshen through the Azara and to the floor. This way, take care of it before it fills up with Yisrael. So that explains why by Regalim, Avdinan, Mashmiris, Rishayna, we do it early enough, because the Ketani time, as Mishnah itself explains, Magas, Kriyas HaGeber hadn't even arrived, we haven't reached that point. So let's make a summary. At this point, we have Terumas HaDeshen, which took place B'chol Yoyim at the Kriyas HaGeber point. We're going to see in the Gemara there are two shittas, whether a Geber is a person or a rooster. On Yom Kippur, it was the Chatzai's point, because of Chol Shod HaKohen Gadol, Regalim HaShmaris HaRishoyna, because of the multitudes of Israel. And we also learned about what type of material, carbon material, is eligible for Terumas HaDeshen. So if it's an aver that has true and basar, fresh meat intact, and has to burn throughout the night. However, we learned that chatzos is considered a cutoff point. It is oise ikol. It gives it a status as though it's been consumed, halachically consumed. Regarding these Eivarim Shemosh Labanor, Eivar which has been partially consumed by fire, we say Chatzoyz is the cutoff point. After Chatzoyz, it's no longer considered Kachi Hashem, and there's no Milo. How do we know this? We have Rav and Rabbi Yechon. According to Rav, we learn from the fact that we have a Stira. Pasuk number 1 speaks about burning the entire night. Pasuk number 2 speaks about doing Terumas HaDeshen throughout the entire night. How do we resolve this conflict? We make a yachleiku. Up at the chatzos, it has to burn. After chatzos, it's eligible for Terumas HaDeshen. Now, regarding a true deshen, true burnt out ash, then that's eligible for Terumas HaDeshen the entire night. And that's one from the second pasuk, Kol HaLayla Ve'Eir, which tells us that this type of material is eligible for Trumas Adeshin regardless of what point in the night we're holding. Rabbi Yechon learns a bit differently. He says, how do we know Chatzois is the cutoff point for those Evarim, Evarim which are partially intact? Because in Pasuk number 1 it says, the oil is meant to be burning the entire night ad ha-boiker. Ad ha-boiker tells us, not literally until morning, but add another morning to the standard morning, meaning advance it a bit, and we go back to Chatzois. Chatzois is the expiry point for these Evarim, after which they're no longer considered Kachi Hashem. Regarding true Deshen, true burnt out material, that is considered completely Deshen, and Mitzvah has been completely fulfilled, regardless of what point in the night we're holding. And Trumas HaDeshen on that is Mutah the entire night. And that's learned from the second Pasuk, which tells us, Kol HaLayla Ve'Eir. Continues the Gemara. We learned about Kriyas HaGever. My Kriyas HaGever. What exactly is this referring to? Rava Amar Kara Gavra. Kriyas HaGever means the man, the Gever, called out. So this was the man who would call out in the Beis HaMikdash, the Reveille fellow, get up to do the Avoida. That's Kriyas HaGever. And at that point, they would do Trumas HaDeshen on a typical day throughout the year. Rabbi Shila Omar, he says Kriyas HaGever was a different method of waking up. Kara Tarnagoyla. It's a Tarnagol, it's the rooster crowing. That's how they would wake up. And that's when they did Trumas HaDeshen. Says the Morav Ikla La'asre de Rabbi Shila. So when I have an interesting story that took place between Rav and Rabbi Shila, who had this machlokes regarding the definition of Kriyas HaGever. Rav says it was a person. Rabbi Shila says it was a rooster. So Rav Ikla La'asre de Rabbi Shila. Rav visited the town of Rabbi Shila. They didn't recognize him. They didn't know that he was Rav. La'yahava Amoira. That day there was no Amoira. Amir is referring to a meturgeman, a fellow who would stand near the Rosh Hashiva during the drasha, during the shir. The Rav would whisper some words in his ear, in Lashon Kodesh, and he would go ahead and make a powerful voice. With his booming voice, he would announce the halacha, the drasha, to all those assembled, and he would interpret it to Aramaic, to the language of the land. That day, it so happens that the Amir was unavailable. L'yahava Amir, l'meik malei de Rabbi Shila, to stand before Rabbi Shila. So Rav offered his services. Come, Rav, alei. So Rav positioned himself near Rabbi Shila. And Rabbi Shila began his drasha, and he mentioned in his drasha these words, Kriyas HaGever, in Lashon Kodesh. And Rav, true to his opinion, interpreted it as the way he interpreted it. It became a farish, and Rav explained, my Kriyas HaGever, what does that mean? Karagav, the man called out. When Rabbi Shila heard this, he says, well, what's going on? It's not what I had in mind. Amrli Rabbi Shila, V'lei Mamar, why don't you say, Karatarnagoyla, the chicken crowd, the rooster crowd. So Rav responded with a quotable quote. Amrli, he tells him, Avuv is some type of instrument. L'chari, to free people, to Bnei Chirin, people who have a true appreciation for the sounds of music. Zemer, to them it sounds like music. However, the gardoi, to weavers, people don't necessarily have an air for music. They don't accept it from him. They don't consider that to be music. I think of it as some type of drum. So you have to have an appreciation for it, to appreciate it. So how does it pertain to us? Rav continued, Ki havo ke imna alei, terbechia, when I stood before Rabbi Chiya Umefarishna, and I explained my Kriyas HaGever Karagavra, and I interpreted it as follows. Kriyas HaGever means the man called out. He didn't complain, he appreciated my approach. But amrasli, and you protest, you tell me Ema Karatan, you should rather say the chicken crowed. Amarle, now Rabbi Shila caught on. He says, Marni Ravi, you're Rav? This is not, it's not appropriate. You should be serving me. Nei nachmar, why don't you sit down? Omer le, Rav responded, It's another quote-unquote. Amri Inshi, people say as follows. Itagrisle. If you've been hired by this person to work for him throughout the day, puts, comb out, Amri his wool, even though it's a degrading job, that's your job. You committed to work for him throughout the day. Here as well, once I started interpreting Yidrasha, let me conclude. Ikad Amri, Hachi Amri. Some say, this is how he responded, Malin Bekoidish, V'leim Aridin, meant to upgrade in matters of Kedusha, not downgrade. It's unfitting for the covet, Hadrasha, that I should step down, and somebody of lower stature should take over. So, this concludes the Machlekes in Rav, who says, Kara, Kriyas HaGever is Kara Gavra, and that's how they welcomed the Beis HaMikdash. They had a person calling out. As Rabbi Shila maintained, it was a chicken, a rooster, which did the job. We're going to have a riot to either sheet. Tanya Kava say the Rav. Tanya Kava say the Rabbi Shila. We have a bryce in support of either sheet. Tanya Kava say the Rav. We have a bryce which supports Rav. Gvini, that was his name, Gvini Cruz. He was the reveille man. He would call out in the morning. Mao Omer, what would he say to get everybody up? To inspire them, to motivate them. Imdu Kahanam Lavidaschem. Kahanam, get up to do Yavoid. Ulevim, you also get up. To get to your stage to do the shira, Yisrael l'mamadchem. Yisrael, get up to accompany the karbonis. And he had such a booming voice. V'ayakoyloi nishma b'sholish parsois. His voice would carry through three parsois. A parsois is 4 mil, so we're dealing with about 12 miles. That's how far his voice would carry. In fact, it was a mas of Agrippa's hamelach. He was traveling on the road, and he heard his voice three parsois away. He was so impressed. When he came back home, he sent him some gifts. Despite the fact that Gvini Cruz had this booming voice, the voice of Gvini was even more powerful. As we learned, it so happened once that when the Gvini Cruz said the Nusach Avide on Hashem, it was so loud and booming. V'nishma koyla b'Yericha, you could hear his voice down in Yericha, which was far away. How far? V'amar, Rabba Rabachana or Yechna, Mishalaim l'Yericha. How far was it? Yud Parsi, it was 10 parsois, way further than the Gimel parsois of Gvini Cruz. Not only that, V'af Agav Docha Ikechusha, and Yom Kippur is an element of weakness. Can go to the middle of the day of fasting, he hadn't slept. He's very weak. And Gvini Cruz didn't have to deal with that element. He was up in the morning, fresh, all perked up, and still Kangudel's voice carried further. Another difference, despite the fact that Yom Kippur was middle of the day, Vasim Levi, over there is still nighttime, and voice carries further at night. Don't remember Levi. Why is it that a person's voice doesn't really carry as much by day, as much as it carries at night? The reason is because of the sun rolling over and moving along. The galgal chama bores through the rakia, like a carpenter hamanaser, barazim bores through, cuts through planks of wood. And that subtle rumbling affects. Inhibits the voice carrying too far. This sort of sawdust generated by the yoima, the shemesh, boring through the rakia, la shmei. It's called la. So it's barely tangible, barely heard or whatever, but it's there, and it interferes with the traveling of the voice of the kohen gadol. This is what Nebuchadnezzar was referring to when he said, "V'chol dayorei ara, all the inhabitants of the inhabitants of the land, all the multitudes, k'lo chashivim, like nothing compared to you." So simply meaning it's like nothing. But the way we're dashing, "lo" is referring to this sort of sawdust material generated by the sun traveling, cutting through the rakia. And all the Dayori Aram are merely considered like insignificant, like this law particle. Now there were several ways to explain this Gemara. Some maintain that we're referring to a spiritual spiritual elements, spiritual aspects. But others say that, yeah, primarily we're speaking about Dvarim Ruchnim, but they do have some subtle effect even down here on earth. In fact, Gemara says it prevents the coil of the Kohen Gadol, the coil of a person, from traveling too far by day. So apparently there's some sort of slight rumbling that is present in the background. You know, in fact, I was once at the Ontario Science Center here in the city, and they have this section dedicated to space. There's a small corner there where something very unbelievable. There's this instrument that's measuring in real time the cosmic rays, these electromagnetic waves bombarding us from outer space. And we're protected because we have the ozone layer, the atmosphere, whatever it is. But these rays and these things shooting around are very powerful and very high voltage. And we know what these things are. These are Likus. This is the power of Hashem expressing itself throughout the world, which sustains the world. So that's the Keiches Kulam, as we learn in the Sfarim. The Kim is Bala Keiches Kulam. That's the Kavanah. The Shulchan Aruch brought down that you have to have Kavanah. The Kim is Bala Keiches Kulam. It's by Krishna. At least by Krishna, you should think, Alekim is Bala Koiches Kulam. Koiches means the power that's presented, that's expressed throughout the world, and just flying around. These are the rays, the pulses of energy, the cosmic rays, whatever it is that's found throughout the world. So perhaps something to do with this, the Galgal Chama that's producing, presenting himself in this manner of this glow, this sawdust, these rumbling noises and rays and all types of electric pulses pulsating through the world. Tanu Rabbanan. Now the Mashal explains this following Gemara as follows. A person can take a look at the sun, and it's all its might and glory. What a powerful phenomenon. And get impressed. Or sometimes a person can get impressed by the notable accomplishments of human endeavor. We see Malchus Roimi, how powerful they were. So there's room for getting impressed. Says the Gemara, don't get impressed so quickly. Il Molech Gal Chama. So it's referring to a person who is impressed by human accomplishments. For instance, Rome at the time ran the world. They were a world power. Don't be impressed by Rome. Il Molech Gal Chama. Not for the fact that the Gal Chama, in all its power, might, and glory, what happens at the end of the day? Subsides, sets, darkens. So you see, physical power is limited. For not for the fact that we see that in nature, for not the fact that we observe the limits of nature's power, nishma koil hamoina shel roimi. The koil coming from the hamoina, the multitudes of roimi, meaning the power expressed by human accomplishment would be so impressive, and one would be so overwhelmed and overcome by that, if not for the fact that he sees that the sun is limited. The fact that it's so powerful, look, it's still limited. In fact, the Mashal says that human endeavor, especially the goyim, specifically the goyim, they're connected to the sun. Yisrael connected to the moon. Goyim draw their sustenance from the sun. And that's why we draw a parallel between Rome and the sun. We say, look, the sun is limited, and so is Rome. The Baisa continues. Sometimes a person is impressed by the sun, by the power of nature. And we say as follows. Take a look at the power of human being, how limited it is. Look, where's Rome today? Thrown into the dustbin, the trash bin of history. Not the fact that the coil of the multitudes of the power of Rome, which is far gone. So we see that human power is very restricted and limited. That tells you, don't be impressed by nature either. If not for that, nishma kol gal chama, a person will be totally overwhelmed by the koil gal chama. That's the point. Draw a parallel from one to the other. If you're impressed by nature, take a look how limited, how feeble human power is. And the same regarding everything in nature. Conversely, if you're impressed by human endeavor, human accomplishment, don't be so impressed. Take a look at the sun. Look how powerful it appears, but how limited it really is. Tanu Rabbanan Sholish Koilis. There are three voices, three sounds, and it appears I was speaking about spiritual phenomena. Sholish Koilis, Hoyche Mesefa Oilam Atsefa, they reverberate throughout the entire world. Eloin, Kol Gal Chama, the sun traveling, Kalamina Shalraimi, power of Rome, the Kal Neshama, Beshosh Yoitzim Naguf, and the Kal Neshama, when it leaves the body, Beshem Afleda, the Kal, which happens when one is born, Yeshayim Afridaya. Rashi says, referring to the Malach in charge of watering the world, so he calls out to the water sources, and that's the Kal. The Kol Ridaya. Why is it Ridaya? So Rashi says, because this Malach is in the image of a shur, of an ox, and we find in Targum Unklus, Le Sachresh, Le Sirdi. So ox is somehow referred to as Ridaya, Ridya, and that's the shur, the Malach, whose sound reverberates throughout the world. Remember when I was young, I once took a look at some Sefer, a book, speaking about Torah and science, they said, well, don't be impressed by science. Chazal already knew everything that we know today. They knew about radio waves. This is a Gemara in Yom HaFalaf, Af Ridaya. I had a different pshat in the Gemara. Ridaya has radio waves, which travel throughout the world. Maybe that's another pshat. So we have this comprehensive list of Koilos, Bo Rabbanon, Rachmin, Rabbanon, Davind, and Neshama Meshosh Yotzim Aguf, regarding this Neshama, expressing this powerful sound when it leaves the guf, and apparently it's uncomfortable, embarrassing, but lua, and it canceled this phenomenon. In any case, we had a raya to Rav regarding Kriyas HaGever. What exactly is this? What they used to wake up in the Beis HaMikdash? Rav says, a person will get up and announce, get up. And we have a braisa that supported Rav. Rav Shila says it was a rooster crowing. Now says the Gemara, Tanya Kavasi Rav Shila, we have a right to Rav Shila from a braisa. One gets up early and sets out on a journey. It's still before the rooster crows. It's still dark. You should be concerned. Protect yourself from azikim. Don't travel at this point. He's accountable for any consequence. Rabbi Yeshua Aymer, Achishana. He should wait until he hears a second crowing of the rooster. Some say Achishalish until it does it three times. At that point, safe to travel. It's already close enough to daytime. Mazikim are no longer prevalent. Ube'ezet tarnagel amru, specifically what type of tarnagel were they speaking about? But tarnagel benini, the typical one, the average one, not the one that crows too early, not the one that delays, the one that does it somewhere in the middle, typical average tarnagel. We see from here that Kriyas HaGever is referring to a rooster crowing in Zaraya to Rabbi Shila's opinion. Let's do a quick chazara. We learned about the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen, which was the first thing it did by the Avoida of the Beis HaMikdash. They took a machta, scooped up some of the Hadeshen, went over to the Mizrach of the Kevesh, put it on the Ritzpah, and it was Nivla B'mkayim, swallowed right there. The Mishnah tells us three Zmanim. Typically it was Kriyas HaGever time, and Yom Kippur was Chatzos, and Regolim even earlier than that. So Kriyas HaGever, we have two pshatim, whether it's a person or a rooster crowing. Yom Kippurim, it was from Chatzos, and the reason was because of Chush of the Kohen Gadol, they want to begin the process early to reduce the pressure. And Yom Tovim, it was even earlier, it was from the Ashmur Rishayna onward, and the reason was because there were Haber Mishrael coming, whether it's because it made it crowded and difficult, or because, as Rashi explains, due to the overabundance of ashes in the Mizbeach, which they had to tend to after Trumas Hadeshen, so they had to allow enough time before morning arrived and the Hakrav arrived. Therefore, they did Trumas Hadeshen earlier in the night. We learned that Chatzos is Oise Iko by the Evorim Shemoshle Ben-Aur. Rav says, we learned this in the Pasuk Amoyt Alakal Laila, which tells you burn throughout the night. The next Pasuk says, do Haramas Hadeshen throughout the night. How do we resolve the conflict? Chatzos. Chatzos is the cutoff point when it comes to these Eivarim, which have been partially consumed. There's no longer need to have them burning on the Mizbeach. Rabbi Yechon says, it's learned from the fact that the Pasuk adds the word Anabiker to tell you that these Eivarim don't have to remain throughout the night. Rather, add a Biker to the standard Biker, which means create a cutoff point preceding morning, which is Chatzos. So either way, we learn from here that regarding Ivarim, which still have some busar intact, but it's been partially consumed, partially hardened and dried up by the fire, since it has partial consumption and it's already past Chatzos, don't worry about it. Regarding true ashes, which are completely burned through, then you don't even have to wait to Chatzos. You can do Trumas Hadeshen throughout the entire night, and that's learned from the second pasuk, pasuk number two, which tells us Behirim is Kol HaLayla. Now, what does Kriyas HaGever mean? Rav says Kara Gavra. Gever is a person. This person who is to get up and call out to the Kehanim, Levim, and Israelim, get up to do Avodah As Hashem. We have a Braisa, which supports that pshat. Rabbi Shila, on the other hand, maintained Kriyas HaGever is referring to the rooster crowing. We have a bride from a Braisa to the Shita. We have the story where Rav came to the town of Rabbi Shila, and he offered his services, and then he interpreted the words of Rabbi Shila in accordance with his approach. And there was this back and forth as to what is the correct meaning of Kriyas HaGever. We learned about the booming voice of the Kohen Gadol and of Givini Karus. We learned about the Koilis, which reverberate throughout the world. Much Hatzlacha to you, Kol Tov.